different than I intended the morning to go, that's for sure. Thank you, Pastor Adam, for coming out of Kids Club for that. I asked him to be a part of it when I found out what was happening because his ministry and his giftings have impacted my life so much as well, just as much as my parents, Brian, and just the times I've met with God and been really, when I need a touch from God, it's been Pastor Adam there with a special gift, and we're a team. And I always say a three-corded like rope can't be broken. And so I wanted us all to be in that together, even though it's my time. They've had times. They're going to have more times as we transition and we move into the future of CCC. But I thought, let's all be a part of what God is doing. And I think it's so amazing. So thank you for being obedient to God, the Holy Spirit, Dad. Thank you for listening to him. It's a blessing to me, obviously. He's my dad, but also spiritually speaking. Sorry, I feel like my forehead's really shiny right now. I don't know if it is, but I'm just like, I'm going to just dab that in case I'm really reflecting light up here. Hopefully that doesn't quench the Holy Spirit or the mantle. It's still there. I don't know how that works. You can instruct me after. I'm good. Okay, we got it. It's inside now. Thank you, Jesus. But that's what we're going to do. As we move things forward, we're all in this together. I mean, wrong way. Here we go. I thought I would set up while I talked, but that didn't work. So I'm going to get set up here, but really all I'm trying to say, Lord knows what I'm trying to say at this point, but I'm just trying to say that the future is good at CCC. The future is bright. The future is good. I hope all of you come along on the ride with us. I hope you're in it. I hope you're, you know, in it to win it, as they say. But, you know, we have lifers scattered all across this auditorium this morning. And I think of the people who came in these doors once upon a time and aren't here anymore. And I think about what they're missing out on. I think about their call. I think about their destiny, that they're not living in it right now. Maybe they got church hurt. Maybe they got hurt by one of us. It happens. That's church. We're people. We're human. We're not perfect. Just because we stand up here and bring the word of God, we're still going to mess up. And I think if we all have that grace for one another, we could really accomplish something even more amazing than what's been done in 25 years here, because it just gets gooder and gooder, as Dad always says, right? But we got to be in it together. We got to have our feet planted. We have to have roots planted so deep inside of us that the storms of life don't waver us, that we stay planted. We don't fall over. We don't crunch and break at the sign of just something that upset us. We're better than that. God has made us better than that. And so on this Mother's Day, I'm so honored to bring the word. I'm so honored to bring a word that God has placed inside my heart. So happy Mother's Day to all the moms here. I know Mom did a great job of saying all the grandmas, but we can even go a step further, the great grandmas. What about the dog moms? What about they? They deserve a happy Mother's Day, dog moms and cat moms. Or what about the moms yearning, not the moms, the women yearning to be a mom? That you have that desire deep in your heart to be a mom. God sees you today. God hears you. He knows your desire. Let me encourage you that that will come to pass for you. So no matter how you find yourself today, man, woman, human here today, it's Mother's Day. My message isn't just for the moms. My message is for you too. Let me encourage you. I want us all to leave here today feeling the tangible love of Jesus Christ. If there's nothing else that you get from today, know that he loves you. And I pray that by the end of this message, you feel it. If you haven't felt it yet, which I've felt it a million times over so far. And in worship today, the three songs really preached my whole message through lyrics. So it's amazing how I had nothing to do with picking those songs. Didn't even look at what songs we were singing. And those songs, they are really reinstating what I'm about to share with you today. That's how much God loves you. He's giving confirmation over and over. It's woven through the whole morning as we gather together in unity. Isn't the church such a powerful, powerful place? So amazing. I want to just do, before I get going here, I want to do a special shout out, happy Mother's Day, of course, to my mom. Thank you for all you've done for me. I hate, you know, words of affirmation, and I hate all the public hoopla and stuff, and I don't do well when she says all she says about me. But I can stand up here and talk about her for quite some time, because that's okay. I can give that back to her. But thank you for all you've done for me. Thank you for all the support you've done, not only for me, but as a mother to the house. I see you laying down yourself. You lay down time. You lay down effort for the women all through this house. And I think everyone here could agree that we appreciate you and we love you. So happy Mother's Day from CCC. And then one of my best friends, Hannah, is at home today with her children. And I want to just say, Hannah, happy Mother's Day. We've been texting this morning, and it's been a hard one because I miss her. She's always on the front row, and she's one of my loudest cheerleaders. And I said, Hannah, it's not going to be the same without you there today. I say that because when I preached during COVID, she was one of my first texts when I had to preach to just a camera. I said, can you come and be in the room? Come be in the room with me. And she always is in the room with me. She's not here today, and it's different. But I say this through tears of joy because she's the proud mom of two baby girls right now. You know, she has Gwen. We all know Gwen, but she gave birth to Charlotte a few weeks ago. And let me tell you, this baby girl is beautiful beyond. And she is a proud, proud mama, but she's doing mama duties this morning because we all moms know mom life is number one. And when your babies need you, you're there, right? So Hannah, I know this is a different day than what you intended, but I hope you feel the love of Jesus through this camera. And I hope you feel my love. And even though I sent you a virtual GIF, what said virtual hug, I'm really sending you a virtual hug today. So happy Mother's Day. I love you, girl. You know, sometimes when I say we have lifers in church, Hannah's one of the lifers. We've been friends for 20 years, and we've done church together. So when you're missing a lifer, you really notice it. You really notice it. And so that's just why I had to mention that, because it makes it different. Okay, let's get into this message. There's been enough tears, my goodness. And I say I'm not a crier, and look at me. I cry, and I got snot going. It's a good time. Must be Mother's Day. Must be Mother's Day. Yeah, we got Kleenex going. Okay, before we get going, I will share a bit of my journey on becoming a mom. Most of you know that it was a long road for Brian and I. It was a long road to become a mom. And I say this to encourage you. I don't say this for pity or for attention. But we got married when we were really, really young. I was just shy of 22. We had purposely decided to wait quite a few years. We wanted to travel the world more, and we did just that. We did all the things we set out to do. We sunk our teeth into our careers and traveling the world. That's what we did. And then, you know, time and age crept up on us. We were like, hey, we got to start thinking of starting a family. So we did. We tried naturally, of course. But down a long road, we found ourselves at the Ottawa Fertility Clinic. And thank God for the Ottawa Fertility Clinic. Thank God for doctors who just, you know what they're doing. We were put in a bucket of unexplained infertility. No one had answers, which is almost more frustrating than getting an answer because you really just don't know. After three rounds of IUI, our miracle baby, Levi, was conceived. We gave birth to our baby boy in August of 2020. It was a miracle, and we were beyond excited. We had waited so long for this moment to have our baby boy. But like I said, he was born in August 2020. 2020 was a phenomenal year, wasn't it? So many memories it holds for all of us. Just the fondest of memories, doesn't it? It was the greatest of years. Who am I kidding, right? But here's the thing. Sometimes the prayers that you cry out to God for, the prayers you hold deepest in your heart, the miracle you're waiting for, you can be holding your miracle in the surroundings that you never intended. And then you could find yourself complaining about the miracle you're holding, complaining about the miracle you cried on your knees out to God for years to give you, and he finally answered your prayers. But you're complaining, right? We need to be careful that we might think God messed up. We might think God got it wrong. We might think he doesn't know the timing. That we prayed for this, God, but you just didn't get it right. Or is he God who knows all and is all and knows the perfect timing for you because he knows the beginning from the end? You know, I had a choice to make when I gave birth in 2020. I had a choice to make when I was pregnant through 2020. Was I going to cry over canceled baby showers? Was I going to cry over lockdown hospitals and facilities? Was I going to cry over being alone for every single appointment? That my husband didn't get to be part of any ultrasound for our baby? Did I cry over friends and family coming, not being able to come and visit him? Did I cry that I didn't have the maternity leave I always dreamt of? Through years of waiting, I thought, this is going to be amazing. Babies travel for free. We're going to go and travel the world. We're going to go to Toronto and see family. We're going to go to Calgary and see family. We're going to do all these things because I don't work for a year. I've worked since I was about 15 years old, and I finally am not going to work for a year. This is going to be amazing, the things I'm going to do. Locked inside of my four walls in my house was not the plan. Was not the plan. And did I cry? Absolutely, I cried. Did I cry over the canceled baby shower? Guys, I still have like 100 honeypots because it was a Winnie the Pooh themed shower. What do I do with these things from 2020? I cried. I was disappointed. Was I anxious to give birth in a pandemic hospital where you're locked to your room, you can't walk the hallways, you need to wear a mask during labor, your husband doesn't get any food, you cannot leave? All these rules, did it breed fear? Absolutely, I am human. But there was a choice that we had to make in all of this. And that's what I want to remind you of today. Even though we have those feelings, even though we get surrounded by the things that just sometimes could take us out, the determining factor here is what's the choice that we make. In that pandemic, Brian and I looked at the silver lining. He got laid off work. We were stuck at home. But the silver lining was, we were a family unit of three that bonded like we never could have before because we were with together 24/7. It was invaluable time. We never would have had that otherwise. We were so close. We were so together in everything we did. He didn't have to get up early for work. He helped with the night feedings. He helped where he could. It was an amazing year together that would have looked so different if the world was open. Right? So you never ever know how your miracle is going to come. Always be ready for your miracle to come. It's going to catch you off guard sometimes. It's going to catch you by surprise. But God knows exactly what he's doing. He has a plan for you and I. Amen? My title today is Embracing Your Destiny. Let us all pray. Bow your heads, close your eyes if you can. Father God, we come to you today on this Mother's Day morning, God. We pray that you would be with us. We pray that you will show yourself to us today, Holy Spirit. I pray for everyone in the room. May you comfort them. May you guide them. You know every need amongst your people here this morning. I pray that you hear our deepest heart's desire, our deepest heart's cry. Father God, I pray that these words would be your words, not my words. I pray that your people would hear what their hearts and minds need to hear this morning. I pray that we would learn how to embrace our destiny, embrace the purpose and plan you have for us, Jesus. We love you so much. In your name we pray. Amen. So I want to reassure you today that God does have a plan for your life. He has a miracle waiting for you. So many people believe that it's too late, that they're not good enough, that they've missed the mark, that they just don't have what it takes. They can conceive in their minds what a future could look like, the great things they could do. But that's where it ends. It ends up here because they then remember and think, oh, it's come and gone. It's too late. I'm not good enough. All these lies that we tell ourselves. And if that was you this morning when I was talking about purpose and destiny, if your mind went right away, if you heard your mind go, I don't have a purpose, I'm talking to you this morning. This isn't just a meet cute type of Sunday message. It's not just something that you can look at your neighbor, look three rows ahead and be like, that's for them. They're gonna love this. They are so good. They got life figured out. This is speaking to them. No, I'm speaking to you, friend. It's gonna be for you too. I wanna show you today what you need to talk yourself into in order to get to your destiny. What do you need to talk yourself into? You might be fighting the battle in your mind and talking yourself out of stuff. But I want to encourage you today that it's time we start talking ourselves into stuff as Christians. Let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 31. We'll start at verse 7. Then Moses called for Joshua, and as all Israel watched, he said to him, "Be strong and courageous, for you will lead these people into the land that the Lord swore to their ancestors he would give them. You are the one who will divide it among them as their grants of land. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord will personally go ahead of you. He will be with you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you." Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. You see, God never promised that you wouldn't feel afraid or that you wouldn't feel discouraged or that you wouldn't feel anxiety. He said, don't be afraid. Don't be fearful. Don't be anxious. He said, don't take on the persona of fear. Don't take on a persona of discouragement. He never promised that you wouldn't feel it. Of course you're going to feel it. We're feelings. We're humans. He gave us a mind for a reason. He gave us emotions for a reason. He created you just the way you are. So you will feel it. You can feel all those feelings you want. Feel them. Here's the difference maker. What do you do when those feelings arise? What do you do when those feelings arise? Those feelings cannot be the deciding factor in your life. Those feelings cannot be the deciding factor for your future, for your purpose, for the destiny God has for you. They cannot be the deciding factor. So many people live their life thinking that there's an enemy in their life, that the enemy is a person. It's a situation. We're going to war with that person who hurt us. We're going to war with that situation that happened. But the real enemy, it's what you feel. The real enemy is your feelings. The real enemy is your mind. Your mind is your sum total of all your thoughts, memories, the past, feelings, and emotions, which is why you have to fight it. The mind is the battleground. We have to fight it. If you fight it, you can defeat it. But it's a choice to fight it, right? If you don't fight it, you're going to be run by your mind instead of your heart. We don't want that as Christians. He will be with you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you. What a promise. He was assuring them here in the scripture that God's presence is constantly with them. God's presence is guaranteed. His promises are optional. God will go with you wherever you go. His presence is a guarantee. The promises of God, they're optional. His presence has no conditions. He's with us wherever we go. Let's turn to Psalms 139. Buckle up, I'm going to read a few verses because I just couldn't decide where to stop because it's all good. But in the vein of God being with us, we'll start at verse 1. Oh Lord, you have examined my heart and know everything about me. You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my thoughts even when I'm far away. You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You know what I'm going to say even before I say it, Lord. You go before me and follow me. You place your hand a blessing on my head. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too great for me to understand. I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go to heaven, you are there. If I go down to the grave, you are there. If I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell by the farthest oceans, even there your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. I could ask the darkness to hide me and the light around me to become night, but even in darkness I cannot hide from you. To you the night shines as bright as day. Darkness and light are the same to you. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. How precious your thoughts are about me, O God. They cannot be outnumbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. And when I wake up, you are still with me. Let's just go home, right? How amazing. How amazing. We can never, ever fathom the full mercies of God. For he has seen all. He has heard all. He has been with you through it all. He has never left you. He has never abandoned you. And he never, ever, ever will. He never has changed his plan for your life based on your actions. He has never said, I got to rewrite her plan. I got to rewrite his plan because there was a blip on the radar in 1982. There was a blip on the radar in 1990. They messed up. They're not called anymore. They're not worthy anymore. He kept from the beginning of time when he wrote your book, before you were born, before you even actioned one day, your book was written. He never, ever changed it because of what you did. He never will. Your book is written for you. Isn't that amazing? And the reason he never changes it is because he made you and I with a free will. He knew you'd mess up. He knew you would need a Savior every day, every day. Can I tell you, church, never, ever lose the desperation when you wake up in the morning that you need a Savior. The moment you think you can do life on your own is the moment I truly believe his Spirit is quenched. Not only does sin quench the Spirit, have we all done that from time? Of course. But wake up every day with that desperation that you need a Savior. You need a Savior. Not a moment goes by that we don't need him. Not a moment goes by that he's not with you. It is so amazing that he formed and fashioned you. In your mother's womb, you were no accident. This is my mom's favorite line. You were no accident and you weren't made by mistake. How true, how much truth does that hold? That you're here for a purpose. You're here for a destiny greater than yourself. But we have to make choices every day to attain the promises God has laid out for us. You know, Levi has gone through a long phase where his four favorite words in life right now are, I don't need help. It could be for something that's too heavy for him to carry at 3 years old, something too high for him to reach that he can't open. It doesn't matter. And out of being loving parents and knowing his capabilities, we offer to help him. And we get told, sometimes with a stomp, sometimes with a grunt, I don't need help. And he's very, very aggressive when he says it. It kind of scares me. And I go to all the parenting books I've read, and I said, this ain't in here. I don't know what to do. Am I supposed to let him go and be strong and independent and just let it happen? Or do I step, I don't know. But he says, I don't need help. So I started saying to him, get down on his level, look in his eyes, do all the right things. I say, Levi, you do need help. Can I tell you why you need help? If you didn't need help, God wouldn't have made anybody else but you. We all need help, son. There ain't nobody here who doesn't need help on this planet. Because let me tell you, if you and I didn't need help, this would be an empty church and I'd be preaching to myself because I'd be perfect in and of myself. But I need help. You need help. To get to our destiny, we're going to need help. We're going to have to link arms together. You're going to have to be with the right people. You're going to need help. He knows us better than we know ourselves. You know, when Levi says the whole, I don't need help, and I'm just thinking of Brian and I, just out of love, we're trying to help him. What a picture. What a picture that is of our Heavenly Father looking down to us sometimes, right? How many times have you thought you could get the job done on your own? How many times have you thought, it just wasn't happening? It's taking too long. God, I got this. I can make a phone call. I got connections. Look at me. Go, God. I got this. Look at me. I'm just getting promotions. I'm doing good. You can be flying through life and doing well and still out of the will of God. Being out of the will of God doesn't mean life looks ugly and bad for you. You just don't have the full access of the promise of God. That's the difference maker. You know, so sometimes I think God is just out of love. Remember, it's all out of love. He's saying, hey, I can help you. And we say, nope. We stop him. We stop him from intervening in our lives because we want to get it done on our own, on our timing. But let me tell you something. When you try to get to your destiny and your purpose on your own timing, this is when feelings creep in. Feelings of anxiety, impatience. There's Melissa's word, impatience. I'm growing every day in patience. We grow into fear. We get these feelings of being fearful that it's just not happening. I'm just not where I thought I would be. That's a huge lie of the enemy. Because what's the key word there? You thought. I just not where I thought I would be. But have we said, hey, Jesus, am I where you want me to be? Am I on track for the future and destiny you have for me? And all of a sudden you feel peace bubble inside of you. You feel contentment overtake you. You feel your mind quiet. You feel the lies of the enemy go to the wayside and peace overtakes you. Let peace be your greatest indicator when you're doing anything for your destiny. If you have his peace, you're in his will. If you feel his peace, you are in the right place. So his promises are optional. When I said God's presence is guaranteed, his promises are optional. What I mean here is that you and I have a job to do in this. We got to put some grit in the game. You know, I love flowery Christian messages. I've grown up in the church. But I'm also really enjoying Instagram right now when church memes are coming through and they make me laugh of church life through all the years. I'm telling you, there's just some satisfaction in that as a PK who's lived through every era of the church. And I say that with the most grace because y'all know I love the church and I love God. But some things that have been done and said really make me laugh. And one of those things is messages that get preached that make you believe that when you meet Jesus, it's going to be a flower garden and unicorns, gold dust floating, and you're going to be in the clouds. And we are not a family that does that. We are not a church that does that. But it's been known to happen out there sometimes. You can be on YouTube and you can find different messages that are just like, I don't know if that's 100% the Bible, because the Bible's about fighting. The Bible's about wartime. The Bible's about putting on the armor of God and get up and choose and decide. And we got grit in this game, friends. We got to do something. It's not just meet Jesus, throw up your arms, and float through life. It's going to be amazing, you know? That's not life with Jesus. It can be, and there will be glimpses of that. Don't get me wrong. But what really comes down to it here, if you want to access the promises of God, we got a job to do, okay? I think the most, probably the number one thing I would say a mature Christian can do to access their destiny, the one thing you got to learn how to do, encourage yourself. Encourage yourself. Nobody can talk you into your destiny. When those feelings arise inside of you, you got to get to talking to yourself. You cannot wait for someone else to talk you out of those feelings. You cannot wait to get to church on a Sunday morning at exactly 10:20 when the keyboard strikes right and the drum strike right and Jessica hits that note and oh, Jesus comes and you feel it then. But your problem happened on Tuesday at 3:30. Come on. You can't be waiting 5 days to feel something. You're going to have 5 days of bombardment, 5 days of living in your head. Nobody wants that. You got to encourage yourself. You got to talk to yourself. If you can talk yourself out of your destiny, you can talk yourself into your destiny. What is the choice you're making? You can spend your days, you can spend your time talking yourself out of every promise of God, that you're not good enough, that you've messed up, that you're not lovable, that blah, 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 blah. You can spew it all day long. Or flip the switch and talk yourself into your destiny. Start saying, I am more than enough. I am a conqueror in him who made me. I am the fullness of God. I will reach my future. I will step out into my dreams. I will do it. Change what's on your lips. Change the conversation. Dr. Martin Lloyd, a great Welsh preacher, said, our problem is that we spend too much time listening to ourselves and not enough time talking to ourselves. Our problem is that we spend too much time listening up here, listening to ourselves, and not enough time talking to yourselves. We can't wake up in the morning and allow yourself to start talking to yourself. We can't do it. You'll be reminded of yesterday. You'll be reminded of the past. You'll be reminded of all your mistakes and who you used to be. And that will go on as long as you let it. Your mind will never give up. It has no quit. It's like the Energizer Bunny. It will go and go and go. The longest distance in the world is from the head to the heart. The longest distance in the world is what's up here to what's down here. Are you listening to your heart? Are you listening to where Jesus lives? Are you listening to the promises of God that he has for you? The main art in the matter of spiritual living is to know how to handle yourself as a believer, as a person. This was also said by Dr. Martin Lloyd. How do you handle yourself? He said, take yourself in hand. You have to address yourself. Look in the mirror, even if you have to. Preach to yourself. Question yourself. Talk to yourself. You know, moms, think of your kids. You have a kid who loves Lego, or when they're building, or say drawing, anything that they focus on. How many times are you maybe cooking, cleaning, sitting there, whatever you're doing, and you hear mumblings? You hear them going, this one goes there, red goes here, yellow goes here, and a one, and two goes here. Children are talking to themselves when they're focusing. They're going on to talk about it. Maybe your son is like mine and obsessed with Toy Story. and I hear every Toy Story character out and the whole movie scene going on, and I could be like 20 feet away and I hear him, Andy's coming, down, get down, army men, down. He's telling them all what to do. He's talking. Somewhere along the line, you and I have lost the art of talking to ourselves. We've begun to listen. We've begun to listen to the lies and the fears and the anxieties. But here's another truth I want to share with you today. Your life will follow the direction of your conversation. The promises of God are directly linked to your conversation. What you speak out of your mouth is what you will have in your future. What you speak today, you will live tomorrow. Your courage comes from conversation. Be strong, be courageous. That comes from what you're speaking out. But guess what? So does fear. What are you speaking out? Are you healed in Jesus' name? Are you stronger? Are you courageous? Are you confident? What are you speaking out? That you are lovable. Speak it out even when you don't feel it. That's then the time you got to speak harder. The Bible says to keep this book on your lips. Keep this book. Meditate on it day and night. Meditate is a Hebrew word for haga. It literally means mutter. Muttering literally means to say these words aloud, to focus your attention on them so that these become a part of you. So you're not just reading and rushing through. Yeah, my Bible's falling apart. But you are reading them out so that they literally become a part of you. So that when you do need to have conversation on your lips, you are ready. You are ready to go. When the battle comes, isn't the time to start preparing for battle. You got to be ready for when the battle comes. And some days you're going to have to talk yourself into joy. You're going to have to talk yourself into forgiveness. You're going to have to talk yourself into just love and all these godly attributes that we should be living in. You might have to talk yourself into that to save your destiny. They're not worth your destiny. That situation isn't worth your destiny. Because at the end of eternity, it's you and Jesus. Nobody else is standing with you saying, what did you do with my son? What did you do with your life? They ain't there. Forget about them. Forgive. Move on. We got to know that he is with us. He is giving us strength and courage. So what can you have on your lips? What can you have at the ready to say when you need something? I stole this from Stephen Furtick, so you can steal it from him, from me. But he says this, Christ is in me. I am enough. Simple and to the point. When you need something on your lips ready to fight, let's all say that together. Christ is in me. I am enough. That's what you got to say. Confess that 500 times if you have to get through. A sign of a mature Christian is when you can encourage yourself. You can be in the middle of the storm, but you need nobody but you and Jesus. That's a sign of maturity. That's a sign of maturity in the Lord because you've been preparing, you've been meditating, you've been ready at the helm waiting. See, when Moses, Joshua, and the Israelites, when they got to the promised land, I don't have time to go into all the story, but we read from Deuteronomy when Moses was letting them know to be strong and courageous that the Lord will be with them. But later on, they get to the promised land. Moses sends spies into the promised land to go check it out. They come back to Moses a time later. And they said, we can't go in there. We can't go to the promised land. Just think, it's called the promised land. And these people are saying, we can't go. Okay? Just connect that for a second. They said, we can't go because the giants are bigger than us. They're stronger than us. They were about to give up on their destiny because of the fear they felt. Because they forgot the promise that he is with us. He will never abandon us. He will never leave us. They forgot the promise that was just spoken to them. And now they're about to enter the promised land. And they said, no, we can't go. They're bigger than us and they're stronger than us and we can't go. But he will never leave you. And Joshua remembered something. So let's look at Numbers 14. Verse 8 says, Joshua goes, and if the Lord is pleased with us, he will bring us safely into that land and give it to us. It is a rich land flowing with milk and honey. Do not rebel against the Lord and don't be afraid of the people of the land. They are only helpless prey to us. They have no protection, but the Lord is with us. Don't be afraid of them. Finally, Joshua clued in and he said, hey, I'm at the precipice of the promised land and we're about to give up because of fear. He said, they are helpless. They are helpless. They have no one on their side. He says, we have God on our side. We have God who will never leave us and never abandon us. Who are we to give up? Because they are helpless without a God. And think about this. They were saying this after they visited the promised land. It says right here, it's a rich land, flowing with milk and honey. Two things that in those days were worth lots of money, what were counted as high value, and they were going to be given into this land. They saw it with their visible eyes. They saw it. And they were still going to give up. How much more do you and I have to fight discouragement and fear for a destiny that we cannot see? For something that is unseen to us, that God has promised us, but we can't tangibly see it. Okay? So they are people in the Bible. They made it into the Bible, and they were going to give up on something they literally saw. So give yourself some grace. Give yourself some slack when you feel these feelings. They were going to give up too. But then remember what Joshua said. We got protection. The Lord is on our side. And think about this. They had left Egypt. They were in this middle. They were about to go into the promised land. They were right there. But, you know, they were weary. They were tired. They had just had a long journey. And they decided, you know, they had a moment of fear. They had a moment where they thought they'd just give up. That they have come far enough. They have done enough. This was good. They were content. They were happy. And I think this is a really good depiction of what can happen in a Christian's life. Because you aren't anymore who you used to be. The old man is dead and gone. Sometimes the head wants to rile. Sometimes those feelings come up. But you're not him. You're not her. The past is dead and gone. But you're not yet where God wants you to be. You're not yet at your destiny. You are somewhere in the middle. And you're saying, God, I've done a lot, God. To be who I wasn't, that was a mess. That was hard. I fought, God. I'm tired. I'm weary, God. I don't know. I don't know if I want that. I don't know if I can go. It's a long journey. I don't know, God. And you say, it feels good. It will feel good because you're not who you used to be. But you're not yet where God wants you to be. And where God wants you to be is in that promised land with the full access of God's promises. So even though in the middle is good, even though in the middle you're thriving and surviving and you're high with God and you're seeing some promises, you're seeing some light in your life, you're having some breakthroughs, you're still in the middle. I want to encourage you today, don't die outside your destiny. Don't let your fear kill your future, because what God has on the other side is so much greater than what you could ever think or imagine. If you feel weary, if you feel tired, let me remind you, the Son of God, Jesus himself, was once tired. He was once weary. He sat at a well in Samaria. In John 4, verse 4, it says, he had to go through Samaria on the way. Eventually, he came to the Samaritan village of Sychar, near the field that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired from the long walk, sat wearily beside the well about noontime. Soon, a Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Please give me a drink." He was alone at the time because his disciples had gone into the village to buy some food. When you are weary, who's sitting beside you? When you are weary, where are you sitting? Have you ever had to say, hey, go away right now? Sometimes you gotta cut some ties if you wanna care about your destiny and your future. Sometimes when you're weary and tired, you gotta sit. Sometimes being bold and courageous is sitting, because that's the best you can do. But where you sit matters. What well are you sitting at today? Jesus asked the Samaritan woman for a drink. She was caught up in the actual physical water of the well and caught up in the fact that he was a Jew and she was a Samaritan. Jesus said to her, if you only knew the gift God has for you, if you only knew what I put inside of you. I think that's the Father's heart this morning. He's saying, if you only knew what I put inside of you to embrace your destiny, if you only knew the life we'd be living, the choices we'd be making, that's where trust comes in. But Jesus reminded her that this natural water won't quench your thirst, won't quench it very long. These people who go to the well for natural water, they're going to keep going again and again because they get thirsty. But those who drink the living water never have to thirst again. If you're sitting at the wrong well, you're going to be dehydrated in your Christianity. You're going to be dehydrated in your life because you're pulling from the wrong things. You're pulling from the things that are not giving you life. You're pulling from the things that are not doing a service to you, but rather a disservice to you, your future, your destiny, your family, your friends, the ones around you. God's promises are to renew your strength when you wait on Him. When you sit and wait on the Lord, He renews your strength. He promises to you that His yoke is easy, His burden is light. He promises that He will give you a rest. He promises you a future and a hope that is good. These are all promises found in His word. He promises you that He is greater. Greater is He that is in the world, right? Greater is He that is in you than He that is in the world. I knew I was getting that backwards. He promises you that He will never leave you nor forsake you. So sometimes in our journey, it can be a long journey getting to our destiny. Sometimes it's not an overnight miracle, but yet just a journey getting to destiny. We need to make sure that we're encouraging ourselves, that we're putting some grit in the game ourselves, that we're listening to God's promises, we're confessing out what we want to see. So when you feel like you can't go on, when you feel like you're in a natural or spiritual depression, when you feel weary, let's remember to remind ourselves of our God. Remind yourself of who God is, what God is, what God has done, what God has pledged Himself to do for you. He has great promises for all of us. At this time, I'm going to ask the worship team to make their way back to stage, and I'm going to finish on John 4, verse 13. Jesus replied, "Anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again, but those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life." "Please, sir," the woman said, "give me this water that I'll never be thirsty again, and I won't have to come here to get water." You might find yourself here today like this Samaritan woman saying, "Yes, I need that eternal life that you speak of. I want to embrace my destiny." You might be here 100 times. It might be your first time. Doesn't matter where you find yourself on the journey of life, the journey of Christianity. God wants you to embrace your destiny like never before. It's not too late, and you are enough, and He has good things in store for you. If we could just see a glimpse, just a glimpse of what He has. Oh, friends, it would be filled with goodness. It would be filled with His mercies. That's our God. He loves us so, so much. A prayer is going to come up on the back wall in a moment. I want to encourage you. Let's all say this together. More than that, let's mean it in our hearts. Mean it in our hearts that we're dedicating ourselves to Jesus for the destiny He has for us. Amen? Let's all say this together. Jesus, thank you for paying the price for my salvation. I ask you to forgive me of every sin. I repent and I'm purposing to change the way I think and live. I accept you as my Lord and my Savior. Jesus, help me learn about you and to grow in this kingdom lifestyle. I declare you're my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for receiving me. Amen. Now, before we all, the worship team is going to do one more song, but before we do that, this salvation prayer is great. You are now welcomed into the family of God. If that's your first time saying it, let me be the first to say welcome. Welcome to the family of God. Your life will never be the same. He will transform you from the inside out day after day. But if today, if this message, you know, you might be a seasoned Christian, you might not be, it doesn't even matter where you find yourself. But you might be saying, that's me. I've dropped the ball. I haven't been embracing my destiny like I should have. I got caught up in some feelings. I want to pray for you today. I want to say to you that I hope after this, you start encouraging yourself. Write out some things if you have to. Write out the promises of God. If you need a list, let us know. Get the Bible app. Start a reading plan. Start meditating. Start looking over the Word of God. That right there will transform you in a magnificent way. So let's all just do one more prayer. If you'd be so gracious to let me, I just want to pray for those of you that this message did touch. I pray it impacted you in some small way to big way. But I pray that God would touch you wherever He finds you today. Father God, I pray for this room. I pray for everyone under my voice. I pray for those who are wondering, those who are struggling, those who are struggling with feelings, those who are wondering what their future holds, what their destiny holds. although we can confess all your promises and we come together to read your word, I believe, God, that you have done a change this morning, that you have changed us from the inside out, that you have fired us up from the inside out. I believe, God, that you will, that this day would be a changing day for your people. I pray, God, that destiny wouldn't scare us. The future wouldn't scare us. I pray, Lord God, right now for any feelings of fear, discouragement, anxiety, any other feelings that people are battling. We pray right now, Father God, that we can take our spiritual authority over those. We say you have no right to be in your people's minds. We command that they will hear you and hear you clearly, Father God, that they will live life confessing and encouraging themselves and speaking promises, God. We thank you for the great testimonies, the great futures, the great destinies, God. Stir up dreams and visions, God, that have been dormant too long. Stir them up today, God, for new passions, new heights. God, make something of us that we never even thought possible. We thank you, God, that we don't know how high, how deep, how wide your love is for God. We can't even comprehend your love and your mercies. But we know one thing, God, it is so great. It is so good. It is so amazing. So we say, God, we surrender to you. If that's you today, lift your hands wherever you are. An act of surrender. Say, God, I surrender. I surrender to you, God. Have your will with me. Have your will with my destiny. Have your will with my future. Say, I surrender all to you, God. Father God, we call it done in Jesus' name. We honor you and we praise you. We give you the glory, God. All to your name's sake. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.